First off, what planet is this woman, Nikki Morgan, on? Where does she think she's living? It's certainly not the same ball that I'm living on. This is from telegraph.co.uk, from the 29th of March, 2016. Young people will no longer be able to go into railing safely if Britain leaves the European Union, the Education Secretary has said. I'll just let you pause and think on that for a moment. Nikki Morgan has warned that young people travelling across Europe would have to worry about becoming ill if Britain voted for Brexit, as they would no longer be covered by European health insurance. She said the younger generation of Instagram, EasyJet and eBay are more internationalist than their older relatives and enjoy the cheap flights and data roaming costs that come from being a member of the EU. Mrs. Morgan said younger people don't want to see a Britain cut off from the world and urged them to make the case to older friends and relatives to vote to stay. Speaking at the Fashion Retail Academy in London, Mrs. Morgan said that for many young people, travelling around the continent is a rite of passage before they settle down into adult life. Quote, whether it's interrailing or backpacking or city hopping, being in the EU makes it easy and safe to travel around the countries of Europe, she said. Young people travelling in Europe don't have to worry about a myriad of visas and entry requirements. They don't have to worry about the cost of falling ill, because the European Health Insurance Fund means they will be treated for free or at a reduced cost, no matter which country they are in. Perhaps most importantly for young people travelling on tight budgets, our EU membership makes it much cheaper to travel as well. The cost of flights is down by 40% thanks to EU action, and the cost of using a mobile phone is down by almost three quarters, with roaming charges due to be scrapped completely in the next year, meaning I'm afraid there's no excuse not to call your mum and let her know you're safe, end quote. She said that parents who vote for Brexit are gambling with their children's future and risking creating a lost generation of young people. Fear porn alert. Mrs. Morgan also downplayed the divisions emerging in the Tory party over the referendum debate and said the politicians would be criticised if the debate wasn't passionate. She said, yes, of course, the party will absolutely come back together, but this is an issue that people in my party feel incredibly passionate about and have done for a long, long time. Meanwhile, she said that it is incumbent on the government to point out the risks of a vote to leave. We do need to have a tone that actually is both respectful but also informative, she said. But the frontbencher bemoaned the fact that there has been a constant obsession with personalities during the campaign. Mrs. Morgan said that one of the difficulties faced by those in favour of a Brexit is that there isn't a lot of facts to support them because nobody knows what's going to happen, as she accused campaigners of being rather disingenuous. Once again, what planet is she on? Can she not read? Has she never heard of Go or Better Off Out or Leave.eu? Come on, woman! So, this EU deal then, what Cameron asked for and what he got? The deal for a new settlement for Britain in Europe has been signed in Brussels. Did David Cameron get what he wanted? Immigration and benefits. The pledge, we will insist that EU migrants who want to claim tax credits and child benefit must live here and contribute to our country for a minimum of 4 years, Conservative Party Manifesto 2015. What he got? An emergency break that allows the UK to reduce access to in-work benefits for EU workers newly entering its labour market for 7 years. This is a win for Cameron, though details of how the restrictions will work would only come after the referendum if Britain stays in. Euro safeguards. Pledge. A mechanism to ensure that Britain can't be discriminated against because it's not part of the euro, can't pick up the bill for eurozone bailouts, and crucially, can't have imposed on it changes the eurozone want to make without our consent. George Osborne on BBC Newsnight on January the 14th, 2016. What he got? Leaders agreed that just one non-euro state can indicate their reasoned opposition to a measure being proposed by the eurozone status and gave an undertaking that the Council shall discuss the issue. The Council also pledges to do all in its power to engineer a satisfactory solution to address the concerns and seek to facilitate a wider basis of agreement in the Council. Does that really sound like a win to you? Although in practice a British Prime Minister has usually had this power, if he protests loudly enough, as Mr Cameron did last year over UK involvement in the bailout of Greece, it is still a talismanic win that campaigners will be able to point to when persuading voters that the UK will not be held to ransom by the inbuilt majority of eurozone states. There is also new language referring to a commitment to preserve the level playing field, designed to allay French fears that the UK was seeking carve-outs for the city that would enable it to avoid an element of European banking regulation to give a competitive advantage to UK-based financial institutions. Working hours. Pledge. For example, it is neither right nor necessary to claim that the integrity of the single market or full membership of the European Union requires the working hours of British hospital doctors to be set in Brussels, irrespective of the views of British parliamentarians and practitioners. In the same way, we need to examine whether the balance is right in so many areas where the European Union has legislated, including the environment, social affairs and crime. David Cameron in his January 2013 Bloomberg speech. What he got? Nothing. Mr Cameron decided last August not to demand a full exclusion of the UK from EU employment directives after Labour and the trade unions made clear they would not support an EU renegotiation that included opting out of the working time directive. Budgets and EU waste. Pledge. Can we carry on with an organisation that has a multi-billion pound budget but not enough focus on controlling spending and shutting down programmes that haven't worked? David Cameron in his Bloomberg speech. What he got? A pledge by the European Commission to continue its current work cutting red tape, specifically to continue its efforts to make EU law simpler and to reduce regulatory burden for EU business operators by applying the 2015 Better Regulation agenda, including in particular the Commission's Regulatory Fitness and Performance Programme, REFIT, cutting red tape for entrepreneurship, in particular small and medium-sized enterprises, and it remains an overarching goal for us all in developing growth and jobs. Child benefit. Pledge. If an EU migrant's child is living abroad, then they should receive no child benefit, no matter how long they've worked in the UK and no matter how much tax they've paid. Conservative Party Manifesto, 2015. What he got? This was one of the hardest fought parts of the negotiation, where Mr Cameron appears to have given the most ground in order to win his headline 7 years deal on his so-called benefits break. The initial draft text for the deal carried an agreement to pay child benefits at local rates, specifically an option to index such benefits to the standard of living in the member state where the child resides. The final deal text now says that indexation of child benefits should only apply to new claims, when UK negotiators had wanted all EU migrant children receiving child benefit in their home countries to go onto the new rates immediately. Instead, there will now be a 4-year transition period, with the new, lower rates not kicking in until January 1st, 2020. While Downing Street will claim this is a victory, critics will point out that this is a very long way from the manifesto pledge. Ever closer union. Pledge. We want an end to our commitment to an ever closer union, as enshrined in the treaty to which every EU country has to sign up. Conservative Party Manifesto 2015. What he got? A win for Mr Cameron, who has convinced EU leaders that the EU treaties, when they are next opened, will include a new reference to make it clear that the words ever closer union do not apply to the United Kingdom. This clearly meets the manifesto commitment. However, in a sop to Europe's federalists like Belgium, early drafts suggesting this exemption might apply more broadly, for example to countries like Poland and Hungary who have no intention of joining the euro anytime soon, were removed. This is a blow to Mr Cameron's calls for the EU to accept the need for a looser, more flexible live-and-let-live Europe. The multi-currency union. The pledge that the EU should formally recognise that it is a multi-currency union and that all members must not inevitably join the euro. What he got? An apparent recognition, in writing, that while the union's objective is to establish an economic and monetary union whose currency is the euro, it is also stated that not all member states have the euro as their currency. Downing Street is claiming this is a victory for its vision of a multi-speed, multi-direction Europe. The deal text, as a whole, gives less credence to Mr Cameron's desire for a live-and-let-live Europe than Britain would have liked. Security. The pledge. To seek increased powers to bolster UK defences to stop terrorists and other serious foreign criminals who pose a threat to our society from using spurious human rights arguments to prevent deportation. Conservative Party Manifesto 2015. What he got? Allegedly, a win. Specifically, an agreement for the UK to take necessary restrictive measures against individuals deemed to represent a genuine and serious threat to public safety, even if they do not pose an imminent threat to security. Taking a suspect's past conduct into account could be sufficient grounds to act. That's what they said he wanted and what he got. But back to Nicky Morgan. For goodness sake, for the sake of having to maybe buy some of your own insurance and maybe apply for a couple of visas, just like you do if you have to go to anywhere else in the world that's outside Europe, I'm a journalist. If I want to go on holiday to America, I have to apply for a special visa just to go on holiday, simply because I'm a journalist. And they want to keep a closer eye on me than just the usual people who maybe just want to go to Disneyland or travel down Route 66 and, you know, there's special visa waivers and all that kind of stuff. But not for me. Even if I'm not working on a story, even if I'm just going on holiday with my family, I and they have to go to the US Embassy in London and have an interview, and then they decide whether I can go on holiday by issuing me a special visa, just because I'm a journalist. And Nicky seems to think that it's going to make it really unsafe for young people who fancy travelling around Europe just for the sake of it. Oh dear, oh dear, oh dear.